Country Club FM.
Bob Almanac for Thursday, February 4th, 35th day of the year, 330 days left in 2021. Neil, enjoy all of those 330 days, please.
I'm going to get my money's worth, Jim.
Because before you know it, 2021 will be done. 1789, presidential electors got together. They met. They chose George Washington as America's first president, the Electoral College. It has changed a little bit since then, but still the basic system is in place. Mm-hmm. First U.S. Electoral College choosing George Washington. They also chose John Adams as vice president. You know, they used to choose vice president a little bit different. The guy came in second.
Right.
So the president and the vice president probably didn't like each other.
Would have been.
Didn't share all the same views. In fact, I think they had electors. Electors chose a lot of, I think it was all the way down to Postmaster General.
Wow.
And the official national garbage hauler, too. Electors. 1824, J.W. Goodrich. Anything and everything rubber. Mm-hmm. And so this guy introduced rubber galoshes to the public. Keeping people's feet warm since 1824, J.W. Goodrich, 1945.
The venue for this most momentous conference of the war is Yalta, one of Russia's most popular peacetime holiday resorts, summer and winter. The actual meetings were held in the Livadia Palace, 2.5 miles outside Yalta, a former...
It was known as the Yalta Conference in the Crimea. Roosevelt, Churchill, Stalin, the big three, we call them.
Sure.
1945. You know, they always had those conferences during World War II, mostly at beautiful places like Casablanca. There was Malta and Yalta. Wasn't that a cartoon duo, kind of like Tom and Jerry, Chip and Dale?
Malta and Yalta.
Mopsy and Flopsy, Malty and Yalta, Malta and Yalta. But what do you think? Roosevelt and Churchill would get on the phone and get, you know, Roosevelt, hey, Wednesday, Winnie, where should we have our conference this month? Winston goes, I got a timeshare in Yalta.
Who provided the comedic relief between those two? Neither one of them seemed
no,
like a
that's
ball
all right.
Of
you
laughs.
Don't need them. Why would you want them to be that way? FDR would say, oh, I see their good cruise prices down to Barbados.
Right.
They settled on Yalta on this date, 1945. How about in 1974?
I had a few scrapes and stuff, but they've washed them up and they're getting okay. And I've caught a cold, but they're giving me pills for it. And so I'm not being starved or beaten.
That's real audio this date. Newspaper heiress Patricia Hearst. Exclusive to the Bob Almanac here.
You did good there.
Kidnapped by the Symbionese Liberation Army. And then she claimed that she was brainwashed and then was forced to rob a bank due to that brainwashing.
There was some little bit of skeptical approach from some people on that deal.
You know, if I would have done that, all of a sudden I'm brainwashed, I'm robbing a bank, and I go, wait a minute, what's going on here? And then I pretend that I was there to open up an account because I was looking for a free toaster. So that was this date, 1974. Also in 74, this is pretty interesting because there was a chimpanzee named Nim Chimpsey. It was called Project Nim, where these people, these scientists, took a young baby chimpanzee and put him with a family to be raised as a human. Ooh. And this date in 1974, Nim Chimpsey signed his first word. He was 2.5 months old. He signed a word. He eventually learned sign language. And that was the whole experiment was all about. Ooh. Can chimps learn language? And apparently we proved that they could. And there's a documentary out there. It's pretty well documented. Nim Chimpsey. Now, if I could find a chimpsey, next time I get a mortgage or a refi, mm-hmm. I'm going to bring in a chimp to do all the signing. Because that's a lot of signing.
That is.
It's a lot of signing, initials here, initial here, here, and here. It'd be nice to have somebody to do it for me as a proxy.
Yeah.
Like Nim Chimpsey. And then a chimpanzee this date in 74. 77?
Singing star Karen Carpenter.
No, that isn't 77. This is 77.
I'm I'm gonna get a piece of mine.
Did you go out and buy the Rumors album? Fleetwood Mac, Neil?
Just about everybody in my class did. So I didn't have to. It was huge.
Secondhand news. This is the first track. So if you were to take side one, track one, and put it on your record player, this date in 1977, this would be the first song you'd hear Lindsey Buckingham going, bam, 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 bam.
Buckingham was the driving force of that, really.
Well, he really was. He was he's a creative genius.
He was.
And you put him with Stevie Nicks, I mean, good grief. And then with the existing people that were already in Fleetwood Mac, the Fleetwoods and the Macs.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Look out. I think that thing is still selling like a million a year.
That's one of the biggest of all time.
You know it. So that was released on this date in 77. Now, 1983.
Singing star Karen Carpenter died today of an apparent heart attack at the age of 32. In the past, she had suffered from the weight loss condition known as anorexia nervosa. Tonight on Nightline, drug and alcohol addiction among doctors, nurses, and pharmacists.
Very sad, very sad. And what he didn't mention there, and I think he was just too humble, that also on that night's Nightline, Ted Koppel sang a haunting rendition of It's Gonna Take Some Time. It's gonna take some time.
Fine tribute.
Karen Carpenter, 32 only.
She was so good.
She should have been around singing and dazzling us with her voice for years and years. Maybe even now. She'd be like 60, 69 or 70. But again, anorexia nervosa. She was taking Ipecac and other things force her to binge and purge and whatnot. It was not good. I guess binge and purge, that's more bulimia, isn't it? Anorexia nervosa is where you just don't eat. You get really, really, really skinny. And there's some movies and documentaries out there about that. And I'm not ashamed to say that I'm a big fan of Carpenter's music.
I certainly was, too.
Superstar makes me cry just about every time, just like Tommy Boy and David Spade. So that was in 1983 we lost Karen Carpenter. We remember
Top
her.
Of the world.
Hey, yeah, and they actually had some songs that charted country. So if somebody wants to send me a text and say, hey, play some Carpenters on the All Request Lunch Hour, because you just never know what you're going to hear on the All Request Lunch Hour. We like to push the envelope.
Yes, you do.
And so if you'd like to hear something from Karen and Richard, feel free to let me know. 1997 on this date.
O.J. Simpson left the courthouse last night, betraying no emotion, branded a killer, despite having been found not guilty of the murders just 16 months ago. For the anguished families of Ronald Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson, this was justice.
That was the same guy that, like, in the 70s was a Bills fan yelling, run, O.J., run, run, and now he's going guilty, guilty. So he was guilty in the civil trial and liable for the deaths of Nicole Simpson and Ron Goldman. That was the state in 1997. Did you hear that O.J. got his vaccine? Got the COVID-19 vaccine?
Okay.
Yeah. And he was all excited about it. A lot of people were up in arms that he got it and other people didn't. You know.
He's still out searching.
Yeah, so. He is. So he needs to be vaccinated so he can go and still look for the real killer.
Right.
That's why he got it, obviously. That was 97. 98.
Police and security guards in Belgium were caught flat-footed today by a cowardly sneak attack on one of the world's wealthiest men. The target was Microsoft Chairman Bill Gates arriving for a meeting with community leaders. Watch what happens when a team of hitmen meet him first with a pie in the face.
Hey, Mr. Gates. Mr. Gates, over here. Mr. Gates. Wham! There's the pie. Oh,
Gates
no.
Gates was momentarily and understandably
good thing he had his protective goggles on.
The hit squad piled on with two more pies before one of them was wrestled to the ground.
Total three pies.
Wow, banana cream?
No, apple, of course.
Oh, apple.
Apple. It was Steve Jobs, obviously, who set it up. Come on.
Sure,
what do you think?
Yeah,
Apple versus Microsoft. Come on, Neil.
Sorry.
You with the program, Bill Gates. It was in Brussels, Belgium. That's how they welcome foreigners to their country. That's how they do it.
It's a sign of love.
In Hawaii, they give you a lay. They lay you.
Right.
And in Brussels, they throw a pie in your face. Bill Gates didn't realize that. Neither did his security detail. Mm. 1999, this date, Freddie Fender received a star, much long overdue. As you and I call him, the old Bebop Kid, as you know. He was the 2,129th star to be dedicated. Took way too long. I mean, before the next teardrop falls, it was decades before this. He should have gotten it then.
Yeah, he he had his style, and it worked for him.
Jimmy Buffett ordered by an NBA referee to give up his courtside seat during a Miami Heat-New York Knicks game in Miami on this date in 2001. Apparently, he was calling Terrell Sprewell a parrot head. He's going, I got parrots that can shoot better than you, Spree. And they threw him out.
Tossed him.
That was this day, 2001. Happy birthday to Facebook, a.k.a. the cauldron of self-absorption, the social network website launched by Mark Zuckerberg from his Harvard dormitory on this date. 2004. 2004, so it's 17 years.
Nice.
17 years of Facebook. 2008.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Bobby Knight said goodbye to Texas Tech on this date. Every time he leaves a job, that's how he leaves it. With that little riddle, a limerick, if you will.
Yes.
Bobby Knight announced his resignation as he stepped aside from Texas Tech. Was he the little general? Didn't they also call Gene Mock that?
Yeah.
Were they both the little generals, or was Bobby Knight wasn't that little, so was he just the general?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
The general, yeah.
And then let's go back 3 years right here in our backyard.
Minneapolis, Minnesota, the site of Super Bowl 52. The YouTube TV kickoff show begins now.
Ooh, the YouTube TV kickoff show. Ooh.
That was big.
Super Bowl 52, this date won by the Eagles. Vikings could have been there, but they weren't. Nick Foles was the MVP. I think people probably forget about Nick Foles. Yep. All right, let's go to birthdays. This guy was a Klingon.
Admiral Kirk has been charged with 9 violations of Starfleet regulations.
Starfleet regulations? That's outrageous! Remember this well. There shall be no peace as long as Kirk lives.
Klingons and the Klingon High Council and the Klingon Empire were not happy with Captain Kirk.
No.
He had to be enemy number one.
Evidently.
John Shook Jr., 81, he's the Klingon ambassador, and he was in several Star Trek movies. He was also in Law and Order, McMillan and Wife. You know, a lot of big stars have played Klingons in the Star Trek universe. John Larroquette.
Yeah, and they, you know.
Christopher Plummer. Christopher Lloyd.
Oh,
Jim
right.
Ignatowski was a Klingon.
That's right.
Doc Brown.
He was a bad guy.
Fire the torpedoes. Shields up. Stephen Root. James Avery, who played Uncle Phil.
He was a Klingon.
He was a Klingon, Uncle
wow.
Phil from Fresh Prince.
Sure.
And James Worthy, the NBA player.
I didn't even know he was an actor.
They needed a tall one, so they brought in James Worthy. They were, you know, they were Television City in Hollywood.
Right.
That's where they filmed the show and things. And
Worthy
here comes James
right
Worthy. They did not use Kurt Rambis, though.
Oh. He'd have made a fine Klingon.
That's right. So what do you do before you picnic? We've gone over this before.
Yeah, I don't know.
Survey. You surrey.
Surrey.
You surrey.
Yeah.
Or you could survey.
Yeah.
I mean, take a survey if you want a surrey.
What do you want for
what
your
What do you
sandwich?
Want for your picnic?
Right.
Survey. Survey. So the other gal in the fifth dimension, you had your Marilyn McCoo. But singing harmony with her was Florence LaRue. And anytime we can get the fifth dimension on the almanac, I bend over backwards.
Well, why wouldn't you? They're a great group.
She's 77.
Boy, they're getting
today.
Up there.
77 there. Dan Quayle.
Well, Bobby Knight told me this. He says, there is nothing that a good defense cannot be a better offense.
So a couple Bobby Knight references here today, and now we know why George H.W. Bush picked Dan Quayle to be his vice president, because
right.
he reminded him of George W. Bush's son.
Right.
Because neither of them could get, you know, simple cliches and sayings out correctly.
Yeah, that was
it just
kind of
got
up.
Him wrapped up and so forth. James Danforth Quayle, we know him as Dan, vice president, 74.
You and me ain't no movie star. What we are is what we are.
Huh. How nice of it was that for Alice Cooper to go kind of mellow on us here with this one. It's always nice when those hard rockers go mellow and go ballad on us. You know, the power ballad kind of thing.
I like this, yeah.
We wouldn't have Home Sweet Home by Motley Crue probably if Alice Cooper didn't do this. Well, that's enough for me. Or if Nazareth hadn't done Love Hurts. Sometimes so Alice Cooper, his real name is Vincent Fernier, or you could French it up and say Fernier. He's 73.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. That's some fun.
He had done some cocaine before the game. Lawrence Taylor, 62 today, the Hall of Fame linebacker, known to break some bones.
He was a game changer, though.
Oh, yeah. He changed how offenses, the whole strong side linebacker, strong side, weak side tackle, backside tackle, and the whole thing.
They had to account for him.
They did, and he was Lawrence Taylor. He changed how the game was played. 62, Clint Black, we know him. He's 59 today.
All things considered, I'm doing just fine. Even though you left a hole the size of Texas deep inside of my heart, the way I feel, I should be losing my mind. But all things considered, I'm doing just fine.
Yankee Gray is with us here today, and member one half of the Yankee Gray crew, Dave Buchanan. He's 55 today. Remember Yankee Gray? This was their big hit, top 10.
Oh, yeah.
We don't play it anymore, unfortunately. It didn't test well. Test well with me, though. I think it's up tempo. Let's go to up tempo song.
Yeah, like
Yankee Gray, all things considered. Oscar De La Hoya, the boxer, which translates to Oscar of the La Hoya. He's 48 today. Natalie Imbruglia. Say that fast a couple of times. Imbruglia.
I don't think I can.
Imbruglia, baby. It's almost like Tom Gugliotta.
Mm-hmm.
Imbruglia, baby. So she's 46. Our rapper today is Cam'ron. Cam'ron is 45. And he's no Carl Switzer, but he was good. Nailed that one.
That was good.
If I was Darla, I'd jump out of the boat and swim to shore.
Right.
But Bug Hall, who played Alfalfa in the Little Rascals the remake and redo from the 1990s, he's 36. He had the cowlick down, the whole thing.
He looked it.
The freckles.
He looked the part.
He did.
Yep.
But the only difference was his buddy didn't show up at his front door and shoot him dead.
Well, that's probably
like Carl
good.
Switzer,
right.
Sadly.
That was sad. Gone but not forgotten. He's one of us. Little Falls native Charles, don't call him Chuck Lindbergh, 1902. He's a pretty famous guy in our history, right? I mean, he helped put Minnesota on the map.
Agreed.
First person to fly solo across the Atlantic. Lindbergh, born on this day, 1902. Golfer Byron Nelson, one of the most winningest golfers of all time, and they still have a tournament, at least they did. I don't know, it's probably got a different name now, but the Byron Nelson always played. It was in May, and it always seemed to rain.
What was
in Texas when they played?
You know what his biggest contribution was?
The
Iron Byron. You know what that is?
Is that the...
That's the robot that has where they test clubs. Because it has the perfect swing. He had the perfect swing, so they emulated his swing in robot form. And they call it the Iron Byron.
There you go. Very nice. And he ran off like 13 wins in a row or something. It was during the World War II times, so not everybody was playing. But he's impressive nonetheless. 1912. Actress Ida Lupino. She appeared in many movies, including The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes. Born on this day, 1918. He was the Washington Generals, really, of the courtroom. A district attorney, Hamilton Berger, on the Perry Mason Show.
That line, copyright me.
Objection. Your Honor, once again, Mr. Mason is demonstrating his characteristic courtroom pyrotechnics
Can't you come up with your own lines, Neil? Is your staff?
Oh, I've used that many times.
Oh, you have? Okay. Yeah. I'd never heard it before.
William Tallman was the guy who played Hamilton.
When you call him the Minnesota Timberwolves of TV courtroom dramas.
You could call him that, too. He did not fare well. I think he went one for the show. One for the entire.
They gave him one.
Yeah.
One room a bone.
Yep. William Tallman, born on this day, 1915. He was actor Conrad Bain. Remember him?
Mr. D.
Aha! You're here. Welcome, gentlemen.
Talking to us?
Of course.
How about that, Willis? Downtown 2 minutes and already we're gentlemen.
What you talking about, Mr. D?
Philip Drummond was the character Conrad Bain played there on Different Strokes. Born on this day, 1923, and a very funny guy. He was on Carson a lot, The Tonight Show. David Brenner.
I went to my first tennis match. I got to tell you something. I've never been to one. Did you ever see the fans at a tennis match? They sit there. They go, ooh, ooh. I'm waiting for, you know, your mother sucks balloons, you know. Of course, coming from Philadelphia, not only do they yell it, but they have pictures to prove it. Like.
He sat in for Johnny sometime.
Oh, yes, he did. Yes, as the guest host. Comedian David Brenner was born on this day, 1936, and they're all gone, but not forgotten.
You can start a Bob-a-thon with Aaron Tippin. There ain't nothing wrong with the radio. Judd's Why Not Me? Gene Watson, 14 Karat Mind.
Yeah, let's go old school with Gene Watson.
KDDG Albany. KDDG HD1 Albany St. Cloud. KBGY Faribault. KLCI Elk River.